But one thing I realized on the football field is you cannot control the scoreboard, but you can control the hustle. It comes down to one simple thing as a nation. Just win, baby. That keeps our country moving forward because we have to know our history. We have to. It was Karl Marx. He said the first battleground is rewriting of history.
We put a lot of military power right on the front door of China. War with China would be very bad for the world. Like, that's not what we want. And that's an incredibly simplistic way to look at it.
The thing that Taiwan is going through is why we have to have strong leadership here. We have to have a strong partnership. They provide the world with the supply of chips. We should not, in 2024, have on our streets, because we don't agree, people burning our American flag. We have to have a priority that this is the most important thing we can do. Education, and bring the best people to the plate to make sure our kids are educated. We can go generation upon generation upon generation, and everyone gets better and better.
All right, everybody, welcome to another episode of the Afterburn Podcast. I'm Flash McVay, coming back to you. Glad to have everybody in. Very exciting guest today. Somebody that I've been looking forward to talking to for a long time, and then also gotten a awesome opportunity to work with in the past. We have Congressman Burgess Owens from the 4th District of Utah here joining us today. Congressman, thanks for taking the time to sit down with us for the topics that we're going to discuss today.
Mike, looking forward to it, friend. And again, thank you for the support you gave to those young people that we work with. I really, really appreciate that. And that's what it's all about. And that's why I'm glad our friendship's kind of started in that regard. So
absolutely. Absolutely. So a little bit of background. I met Congressman Owens at an event, a political event up in Park City. And then he has an organization called Second Chance for Youth that I love. So kind of going out to Mill Creek Youth Center. So underprivileged and unfortunately incarcerated children, and just trying to mentor them and kind of get them molded back into society and become contributing members of society. And the program is amazing. And I got a great opportunity to do that. So, all right, we're going to jump right in. Okay. We talked about it. It's currently July 25th. It's been a very quiet political couple weeks in Washington, D.C., I'm sure. Not a whole lot going on with the unfortunate assassination attempt on former President Trump, President Biden dropping out of his campaign yesterday. So a lot of things going on in D.C. So, again, just thank you so much for the time. But
absolutely.
If y'all don't know Congressman Owens' background, what a life. So Super Bowl champion, business entrepreneur. And a sitting congressman at the moment with an election coming up in his own right in November. So, sir, to kind of get started, got any good Al Davis stories?
I love, some Raiders stories. First of all, I have to tell young people like yourself, Mike, that I played with the Raiders back when they used to win football games all the time. And there was a time, there was quite a culture. I'll say this, and this is one of the things I think anybody that's worked really hard at what they're doing, we just started something called a merit caucus, because we do know that merit is what makes life worthwhile. That gives us our dreams. It gives us a chance to really feel a sense of happiness. And one of the things I learned through the Raider experience is what merit really comes down to. I played for a year. My last year in high school was a losing season. 4 years at the University of Miami, losing seasons. 7 years to the Jets, all losing seasons. So that's 12 years of losing. The 13th season was when I got to the Raiders. And it was a remarkable experience because it was a culture of winning, number one. It was a culture that you do everything you can, that you want to make sure you don't let your teammates down. So what I learned from that year, it was a year in which we came in as underdogs. We ended up winning this first team as an underdog team to win a Super Bowl game. But it was the system we went through, the season went through, that really has been life lasting. And that is something that we actually apply to my team here today. And it is the acknowledgement, and everybody thinks about this in their own way, whatever struggles they're going through, whatever their goals might be. But one thing I realized on the football field is you cannot control the scoreboard, but you can control the hustle. And the hustle is the one thing that when it comes down to an individual decision, an individual choice, that's the one place we can stay a part of that. And if you make that choice, it will work out at some point. You're going to look back and realize it was tough, but my goodness, I'm glad I got through it. I learned so much from it. And it's all because I never quit and I hustled every step of the way. I never gave up. and we're rewarded from that process. So it's called merit, by the way. So let's make sure that whatever we do, we're given everything we can. We feel good about ourselves. We are blessing others. And those goals that we want to achieve will eventually either come true in the way we want it to, or even better, in my case, even better. So that's a Raider story. All right.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing too. It's like this commitment to excellence that was the Raiders' motto.
That's exactly through, right.
Through Al Davis is kind of like the big football fan over here. So wish I would have been as good as you and gotten to play for a little bit longer. But that commitment to excellence is something that pretty much everybody can take into their lives. And once you commit to that, then there's really no kind of limit to what you can kind of accomplish, to include winning a Super Bowl and things like that.
Well, you know, Mike, and I'm glad you remember that you brought that up, because it's commitment to excellence, which basically means that every player in the NFL wanted to be on that team. They wanted to be part of that if they could get there. And a lot of it just is luck of the draw. Al Davis noticing you, the time was right. And the other part was, and I use this all the time, and that's, what is the goal at the end of the day? What is it that we're all about? What are you doing as you do, whether it be your podcast, whether you do your assignments as a pilot, what I do here in Congress? It comes down to one simple thing as a nation: just win, baby. And that was Al Davis.
just win, baby. That's right.
Make it very simple. All right.
That's right. And you guys did do some winning. So there you go. All right. So moving on, you're a busy man. So we're going to move on, but I know something that's near and dear to your heart. When we talk about like that commitment to excellence and greatest generations and differences in generations through time that we've had, is your father and grandfather. Tell us about something that I wanted to hear more about, was being able to get you're very respectful of our military. And that's usually what we talk about here. And your father and grandfather, you were able to get their records into the Library of Congress recently. Can you tell us some more about that?
Well, let me just kind of start off by saying that I was very, very blessed. I was raised by the greatest generation. When I say that, it was a generation that went off to war. The men went off to war because they knew they had to fight evil, and they came back and they built a remarkable middle class. We were taught how to respect our country. There was something as young men, I can highlight it, and there's just one real quick phrase: what we taught as young men by our fathers, and it was actually not only taught, but it was expected to hold tight to it. If not, we had to deal with our fathers, and that is learn to love God, country, family, respect women and authority. And it's really simple. It's something that I was just so excited to be part of. Part of that was that Dad volunteered to go to war, World War II. I think he was 18 years old. And I look back, had these conversations as I was growing up. And he made a point once that it was the best decision he ever made in his life, because that decision to go fight for his country gave him a chance to come back, take advantage of the GI Bill. He went up to Ohio State, got his PhD up there, and I was a college professor for 40 years, a business owner for quite a while. But more importantly, he was focused on his family, making sure that the next generation had a much better opportunity to live their dreams, which he did, and my mom. So it was an opportunity when you go out and serve, particularly you serve something so important like the freedom, the culture, what this country's developed and made for, and you come back recognizing, first of all, you're blessed. And I'll say this about that generation, because I grew up in the Deep South in Tallahassee, Florida, days of KKK, Jim Crow, and segregation. My first exposure to white Americans wasn't until I was 16 years old. But what I learned before that process allowed me to enter this new environment. Whatever that environment was, I was ready to go out and perform. I was taught to be respectful. I was taught to have high expectations. If I got in trouble in school, it was no question. It was not a question mark in my mind. I was going to be in trouble when I got home. And that actually allows you to think all the time, how can I stay focused, stay respectful? Don't make mistakes that you'll have to pay a price for. Those are the kind of things that I was raised with that generation. And part of that was because they went to war. They came back to respect. They came back with the discipline of being soldiers. And they had a kind of a brotherhood. And something I recognized over time, as Dad got into his later years, he thought so much more about how he can help other veterans. He owned a 100-unit apartment unit, and he was trying to figure out how to allow veterans who had maybe on tough times to come and be able to stay there. So it's a brotherhood that happens And you know how it goes. In the military, it's the same thing. On the football field, it's the same thing. When you go through tough times together, you can look around, look over your shoulder, and find that you have somebody that has your back. There's nothing like that. And so that was the generation I was raised by. I was blessed to find out later on that my grandfather had also he had volunteered at 16 years old to World War I. What it says is this. Again, keep in mind, our country was going through some very difficult times in that period. We had not bridged the gap that we have today, in which you look at each other from inside out versus outside in. But yet, they knew that the only way to get there was through merit, was through commanding respect. You're not asking, not begging for people to like you. You go out there, you compete, and you win, and you gain respect because people realize that you're doing something they can't do, or they're doing something they find very difficult. And when that respect comes, all of a sudden, character is what is looked at instead of the skin tone. So I would just say I was very, very blessed, been raised by those generations that gave us so much. And our goal really right now, Mike, is to make sure we pass it on. That's why what you did, what you helped me out with the kids, to me, it was very important. Because we have to recognize as we succeed, the best piece of that is being able to give back so that this next generation can take advantage of that success.
And that's an interesting thing, because you kind of, I think Americans today forget that the Americans that fought in World War I, specifically like your grandfather, we were inside of 50 years from our own Civil War when World War I started. And the country at that time had so many things internal, but we still had this broader view of what was evil in the world, what was required in the world, and people volunteered to go fight for that. And that was an interesting thing. So like getting those records, like you have their Utah record into the Library of Congress, what was that? How did you go about that? And then what is that?
Well, you know, first of all, it's exciting. What the Library of Congress, what they want to do is they want to have a place where we can hold on to these memories, individuals, because it comes down to this. We talk about World War I, World War II. We talk about a phase we went through, but sometimes we forget that these are real people. These are folks who have real lives. They make decisions, good and bad decisions. These decisions, though, we look back on history, realize what kind of impact it had on the generations that came later on. So for me to be able to go and talk with my dad, he joined at 18 years old. When he actually was in the Philippines as a reconnaissance. I had a chance later on to find pictures of him in those days. But to be able to present that to the Library of Congress, to know that this is an individual, because of what he did when he was a young man, the decision he's made allows his son to now be in Congress, to now be representing a state, a district, in which the color has nothing to do with it. And the time that he was growing up, color had everything to do with it. So it's exciting not only to be able to give that gift of who my dad was and the people that dad represented. It was not just him. That entire generation was just remarkable. Anyone who had fathers who came out of that period, a couple of things they're going to all say. They came back from war. They never talked about it. They never talked about what they did. They just went ahead, and then they built this remarkable middle class, the greatest, most robust middle class we've ever seen. Because they came back and took advantage of the GI Bill, those kind of things. So, for me, to be his son, to be able to present that to our country, to say this is a person that I have a lot of respect for, that was actually my hero as a kid, and this is why, it was quite an honor. So it's awesome. Now there, and I would recommend anybody who has relatives, has a dad, a granddad, a great granddad who came from that era. Record as much as you can. Get from their voice the experience they had during that period of the war and before. And so that way you can not only hold on to it, but the rest of the country can also remember just who these people were, these remarkable Americans.
I second that, because the other one is the further removed we get from some of these things, and when we don't write things down, or we don't kind of put these things into hardened fact of being able to look back and see what people fought for, is we just forget. And now we look at the things that potentially divide our country now, And the things that divide our country now, when we look at it, is just like, is this really what should be dividing? And like, what, look at all the things that we have that we fought for and our generations before us fought for. Those are the things that we should be focused on kind of what brings us all together versus what's kind of being more divisive in today's world, which I know you're huge on.
Your online security has never been more important. Recently, hackers stole over 2.9 billion records from National Public Data. You might be asking yourself, what's National Public Data? Well, that's the service that private investigators, companies, and staffing services all use to do background checks. This information is now in the hands of hackers who say they're going to give away this information for free. I use a company called Aura to make sure that whenever my data pops up in places I don't want, I get notified immediately. They also go right to work trying to remove your information from data brokers, as well as they offer a whole host of other tools. And should the worst case happen, they offer up to $5 million in identity theft protection insurance. Protect yourself and your family today with Aura. You can use the link down below and get a 14-day free trial, and this will be enough time for Aura to go out there, scan the web, and see what information is out there that you really don't want. You can go to aura.com/afterburn or click the link down below in the description again to get 14 days free.
Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Have you seen Chuck Norris lately? He's still kicking butt and staying active well into his 80s. What's even more shocking is he looks more jacked than ever and seems to have more energy than guys half his age. And it's all thanks to Morning Kick, a revolutionary new daily drink from Roundhouse Provisions that combines ultra-potent greens like spirulina and kale with probiotics, prebiotics, collagen, and even ashwagandha. Just mix with water, stir, and enjoy. Unlike other green drinks out there, this one tastes exactly like strawberry lemonade and has hundreds of five-star reviews. Go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 for up to 44% off your regular priced order. Plus, every purchase is backed by a 90-day money-back guarantee. So if you want to experience smoother digestion, a boost of energy, and just an overall healthier body, then go to roundhouseprovisions.com/save44 today. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Results can vary.
Yeah, if I can say this, Mike, the things that we have to remember that keeps our country moving forward is we have to know our history. We have to. It was Karl Marx, the guy who started Marxism, communism. He said the first battleground is rewriting of history. Why would the Marxists, who hate what we stand for, they hate God, family, faith, the free market, they hate it. Why would they want to take our history? Because only through knowing our history can we have a pride of our past and appreciation for where we are today, and a vision of what we can become. That's what happens when we really know our history and what people have overcome. Every one of us, if you go back far enough, will find somebody in your history that you'll be so proud to be linked to. The rest of the country, the rest of the world might not know about them, but you hear about their struggle, you hear about where they came from and what they contributed to their families or their communities. We will all, at some point, we find somebody we can all be proud of. So that's why what we're doing now, And one of the things that I just want to kind of segue real quickly, one of the things that I'm really focused on at this point is education. because education is the only way that we can teach our kids to be proud, to be visionaries, to be innovative, to think outside the box. You do that by starting with a foundation that I am worthwhile. I am worth moving forward. I am worth giving, being of value to this, to our community, our family. And once we realize our self-worth, Mike, as you know, there's nothing we can't accomplish, because we feel some kind of way through God's help, we can make that work. And so that's important that we get that done. So I'm thankful to have a remarkable generation behind me and to be able to have done that with the Library of Congress here in DC.
That's a heck of a story. I love it. So kind of moving from that, something that's personal to you, to an incredibly simplistic topic to talk about, as far as foreign relations with other countries, Taiwan. So you sit on a couple committees, but then you were also part of the Taiwan caucus. And last year around this time, you got an opportunity to go to Taiwan and meet with the president of Taiwan, and visit with the CODEL, down there. Can you tell me like what you guys did? What was the purpose of the trip? And then how was, visiting that part of the world?
Well, you know, it was a CODEL put together by John Curtis. John had done his mission there, 40 years ago. But at the same time, they're partners. There is a country, a very tiny country that punches above their weight. Kind of reminds me of Utah. We punch above our weight. And to go there and see how much they appreciate freedom, how innovative. And by the way, when you're free, you can innovate. When you're free, you think outside the box. Nothing's impossible. You come up with ideas that say, you know what, let me try it. This is what happens. Before you know it, we're moving ourselves in a way that we never thought we could. This is Taiwan. It's a very innovative state. I loved going on a little speed train they had. I don't know what they call it, speed train, but it was going 100 miles an hour. It was maybe fast enough, but anyway, it was cool.
We need one of those.
But yeah, we do. We do need. And I thought about it quite a bit while I was traveling, I think. The thing that Taiwan is going through is why we have to have strong leadership here. We have to have a strong partnership. They have found a niche that they're very, very capable of. And they actually, they provide the world with the supply of chips. They've done some remarkable things there with that. So we rely on them, and so does the world. And what they're up against is they're in the shadows of China. Communist China, and anybody knows about communism, anybody knows about the evil of a godless ideology like that, they love to steal, they love to take. They don't build, they take, they destroy, and they take. And so Taiwan has always had to kind of work it out where they can not antagonize, but some kind of way push the process where they can stay free a little bit longer. And we're right now at a point we have to make sure that we can provide and support them any way we can. So our CODEL was there to, number one, to find a little bit of what they were doing, what their focus was, how we can help, what message we can give back to our fellow congressmen here and of course, administration. But just know that we need some strong leadership. And I'm looking forward to as we move forward into this new Congress and the new presidency coming on board, that Taiwan could be a big piece of the message of how do we make sure we're doing everything we can to be a good strong partner, that is a win-win situation, and take it from there.
Perfect. Yeah. And something that, like, obviously the Pacific has been a hot topic in the military and in my day job for the last multiple years, specifically for me for the last 3 years, and kind of looking into like the geopolitics of it and not really focusing on that or anything like that, but I'll get to a question here at the end, but something that I didn't really understand was the history of our political relations with the one country. Cause we have our formal policy is one China, and we've kind of we've signed things, the three assurances or the three communiques and the six assurances. For our listeners, like real fast, like the three assurances is formally China and Taiwan are one country formally. We respect the national sovereignty and that the People's Republic of China and the CCP is the overall sovereign government of both entities. As far as that, like, and then the third one is kind of like, one, we only have formal diplomatic relations with China. But then we are partners with Taiwan. And then the other one is our arms sales with Taiwan. The third communique is our arms sales with Taiwan will only be in relation with China's own militarization of the Taiwan Strait and like the region. So we won't oversell arms to Taiwan in the event that they're not militarizing the region. Then the overall six assurances is pretty much just us is we will not mediate with China and Taiwan. We will not force Taiwan to get into negotiations with China and all those different things. And then we won't set an end date to our arms sales. Those are the assurances with Taiwan. So we have the six assurances, which are more deals with Taiwan, and the three communiques on how we're going to deal with the overall one China policy. So kind of the question that I have, and some a lot of people in the military, is we have all these presence missions in the region. Like we put a lot of military power right on the front door of China. And I think we're all, I think you and I are on the same page that war with China would be very bad for the world. Like that's not what we want. And that's an incredibly simplistic way to look at it. But as far as just like our formal policy with China on the civilian leadership side, and then like the rhetoric and action on the military side, like putting fighters into certain areas and like flying into Chinese recognized airspace and then being somewhat surprised that they intercept us. Is there anything that you see that's at odds with our formal policy, or just what's your thoughts, if you don't mind, on kind of our military actions and our formal policy?
Well, first of all, Mike, thanks so much for that update, that insight. Obviously, your position, you're a little bit more tuned in to those aspects of it. I'll say this in a probably more of a simplistic way. How do we support China? Taiwan. How do we make sure that we can do our best to protect their interests, our interests, because we have an interest that they remain free. And that is to have strong leadership here at home.
Yeah.
Everything we can talk about the strategy, and every president comes in administration is going to have a little bit tweak of a strategy. We've had some very bad results of strategy, I think, more recently. But at the end of the day, once we recognize the threat that the communist dream is really not only to Taiwan, but the rest of the world, what do we do with that? Part of that, we're now looking at making sure we can have more of our supply chain here versus there. With Taiwan, at the end of the day, we have somebody who's strong enough that both sides realize it would not be, when I say both sides, the communist China and America. The last thing we want to do is go into a war with those guys. It's not a win for anybody. But the only way to stay away from that is to show strength and use the right tools. And again, there are tools that President Trump had used before, tariffs, that seem to be moving along in a pretty good way. But that's where the experts sit down with strength and figure out how do we get through this process where it can be something that we can win, Taiwan can win, and China can move on to do some other things. And because their only win is to take over, and we don't want that to happen for sure.
That's perfect. Perfect. Yeah, it's kind of one of those where it's just an interesting dynamic where you want to show strength, but you don't want to be provocative. You don't want to escalate, but you want to. America has a tradition of taking care of freedom loving countries.
Yeah.
And it's interesting to have it be recognized as like Taiwan is a freedom loving country that is part of a country that is by nature communist. So it's interesting to me. And I've always just been intrigued at the geopolitics and like how we have it. But
if I just say this, Mike, one of the things that Taiwan has always been very careful about, and it makes it difficult when you have to be so cognizant of what you say, how you respond. They don't want to antagonize, but then you have bullies. It's so easy to antagonize because if they want to feel that way, they will feel that way. So the only way to buttress that is to have a friend who's so strong that the communists just don't feel that they can just be so sensitive. They have to think through a little bit more. So, and that I think will happen. I think the upside now is that we're aware. We know what can happen. We also have a few months in which we can make it through this process. I'm hoping that we can find strength in 2025 to really hold to the fire those who might want to attack and to take over Taiwan, because that would be a disastrous result for the entire world to have that happen.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. So kind of, again, moving on to a little bit of topics before we hit the education as a national security issue, something that some people want to know is, in Congress, we get to see the face of kind of some division and dysfunction and the inefficient side of this great experiment we call a democratic republic. When you're walking through the halls of Congress and you see a Democrat walking down the hallway, is it cordial? Is it as dysfunctional as we see on TV? Or are you guys having conversations that are well-intentioned? And it's my take that everybody, whether you disagree with their policies or not, wants the best for the country. And so that is kind of my take. Is that the case? And do you guys recognize that as well?
Well, I'll say this. First of all, yes, we have a cordial relationship. I would say as we pass each other and we could always nod at that type of thing. What it comes down to is, and this is where the American people really have to step in and help us, because what we wanted to make sure is we have America first in Congress, whether it be Democrats or independents or Republicans. When we have America first and then America last, then there's a conflict. In that situation, you're not going to get along with so well because you have a different end game. In this case, I'm going to my third term, so I have a chance to kind of talk about the transition process. Came in the first year, we're a minority. There's nothing we can do but message votes. And messaging is basically letting the base know that that we hear you, we're trying to get things done, but nothing we want to get done is going to happen, and that's what happened as a message. This last one, we have a majority, but a small majority, so we can get some things done. Message yes, but we also put some bills through that actually passed to the House. What the American people have to do for us is realize this: there's some good people on the other side, but there's also some people who do not love our country. The people on the other side. That when I say this, there is an ideology that's been very prevalent within our society. It's called Marxism. We have to recognize it for what it is. Our country is all about becoming a more perfect union. All men and women created equal. You can have your business and grow it. You can pass it down. There is an ideology that hates every piece of that, and we have to recognize that. So there are people who believe as Marxists. They do not want business to thrive. They do not want families to stay together. They don't want to have low crime in cities, so they want to defund the police. They want to open the borders, so we're overwhelmed, and our resources are overwhelmed. So there are people like that that you're not going to get so close to. We can still be cordial, but we're not going to go out and have dinner. We're not going to hang out. We're going to debate when we get on the floor. And the American people have to come through for us to have more people coming here that care for our country. That the ones make sure that when families leave their household, they come home that night because they've had a safe trip to work, to school, they come back home. That we can wake up every single day and know that inflation is not eating our lifestyle away. We have people that are suffering because of that. So just know that where we are today, we're going to have some hard discussions, and it's not always going to be pleasant. But when you're fighting for your country, you have to be unpleasant sometimes. You have to be truthful.
Yeah.
And when you're truthful, it means that some people are not going to appreciate what you have to say. But it is what it is. What you do, Mike, when you go out and you fight, it is a fight. When you're preparing yourself to hopefully never have to come to that situation, but you're doing everything you can to make sure you're prepared to make sure that happens. We feel the same way in Congress. For those who come here, we're fighting for our country. No, we don't pick up sticks and hit each other, that kind of stuff. But we're fighting through legislation. We're fighting through messaging. And the goal is hopefully we get enough people to say, okay, I kind of understand what you're saying. I'm ready to listen. I'm ready to vote in your for your party. And if your party wins, we can promise certain things. And that's what the end game is. What we're trying to get accomplished.
That's kind of what me as like an American citizen is looking for. Is just like I will say this. There was I was doing some reading, doing some schoolwork not too long ago, and we were talking about the moral equivalency of combatants. It's a military theory, but it's basically that both sides, they don't hate each other, both sides of a conflict. is like they have a mutual respect for each other. And what I kind of like, what we want out of Congress and what kind of you're saying, what we've had conversations about in the past, is that you might completely disagree with what they stand for, what they believe in, all these different things. It's like, but what you're trying to do ultimately is just protect. And you're trying to win and protect interests and advance things that you believe in. And that's going to run into some issues on the other side. But it's like, as long as you have like a mutual respect for each other, then overall the negotiation is going to be in good faith. And that's kind of what you're saying, is it's like, you just want both sides to have the best for the country. And that's what we ask for as well.
Yeah. And like I said, that's really where we, the people, step in. There's something called public virtue. Public virtue will define how high our country grows and how straight of a route toward the North Pole that we go. Public virtue starts off with personal virtue. And when you have personal virtue, you want the best, you want to serve. And so I'll just say this, we have to get to the point where the public has to elect virtue to come to the Congress. It is something, we're going through some tough times right now. We have different sides of the aisle having our country go in different directions. We have to decide as a country which direction we want to go in. Mine is very simply it was ensconced in our Constitution to become a more perfect union, to look at each other inside out, not outside in, to want to serve each other, pass a legacy that for those who want to have a business, take risks, let them take the risk, let them be rewarded for that. Let people have options of making sure they can get the best education as possible. When there are folks who do not believe in those things, we have to stand up against it. We have to say, this is where I draw the line. No, we don't fight, but we project our views in a very strong way. Yeah. In that strength of projection of our views and our confidence in what we believe in is either draws people to us, and that's what we want to have happen, draw people to our ways of thinking. And if that's the case, we get more people voting in that direction. We get more America First people in Congress. So Perfect. My big ask is, now's the time for America to be engaged. Mike, if there's a time in the history of our country where we need to know what's going on, we need to listen in, we need to ask those questions. Don't just take for granted because somebody's saying something that's true. Do your homework, because our country, our kids, our future rely on how we go into that voting booth and how we vote to make sure we're represented back here in D.C.
Perfect. And that is an amazing segue. Speaking of homework, education. I know it's a huge passion of yours. One, your own upbringing with education. Talk to our listeners and talk to me about your view on education being a national security issue in today. And I know you just went to an event in Milwaukee around the national convention timeframe, but talk about education as a national security issue.
Okay. You know, there's a reason why our four founders started off with the theme of education. It was Thomas Jefferson, I'm going to paraphrase, who said pretty much, ignorant free can never be. It was George Washington. They talked about the power of having an informed electorate, a country. And it was a time in which they set up the school system to make sure people could read and write. There's a time in which education was really a highlight, and based on that education was a theme there, that there is a right and a wrong. There's God. There's the laws of nature. There's things that we can do to make sure that we're blessed. So that education, if we understand that, then we can truly have a difference in opinion and be okay. And this is the point I want to make. When we're confident in who we are, confident in how we articulate ourselves, confident in how we think, then we can have somebody we're talking with that might not agree at all, but our goal in our mind is that, you know what, if I could be nice, if I could be respectful, I can convince my friend to see it my way. I'll just be patient. I'll make sure I bring everything to the plate. But because I have the confidence in myself and the way to think, I know I can get that done. The problem happens when we're not educated. When we get very frustrated, when we cannot explain ourselves, and we find out somebody has just made a point and we cannot debate it, that's when people want to pick up a stick and hit them with it, because they can't think, and they're frustrated. And their frustration comes out into an action of hatred. how we get our country in place where we're truly respecting each other, where we love our country, we love our culture, we go to football games and have different opinions but still be on the same team, is all through education. So we have to make sure that's a primary focus. We've had, unfortunately, the other side. We've had this the ideology of Marxism that's for decades have gone up against our educational system. So we have our kids coming out, not only coming out of school with debt, with degrees that mean nothing, but also not loving our country. And that's what we're seeing on the streets today. We should not in 2024 have on our streets, because we don't agree, people burning our American flag, shouting death to America. That only comes from a lack of education of our history, our past, and what got us to where we are. So we're going to change that. And so my passion right now is I'm going toward to be the chairman of the Education Workforce Committee. That's what I'm working hard to do. And we're going to be innovative. We're going to look at what has worked to hold colleges, our education system accountable. I think probably one of the most important institutions we have is our teaching institutions, our teachers. We need to bring back respect for that occupation. We need to bring back the income, or bring to this this industry the income that brings the very best of our country to it. Because when we teach our kids the right way, when we're leaving ourselves another legacy, another generation of good things. So we have to prioritize that. And Mike, we're going to be doing that as we come into a new Congress for sure.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And Congressman, one of the things that I was thinking about when you were giving that answer is some of the teachers that I've had in life, and both in school and then in my military education, as well as like when I went to weapons school, those are teachers. And some days, like yesterday, I was a teacher when I was flying in as an instructor pilot and things like that. And In your opinion, like, what is the value of a good teacher? Like, when you talk about income, we're not going to sit here and like put a dollar price on top of a teacher and say, this is what teachers should get paid. But in my opinion, the people that have provided the most value to me in life have been teachers. And it's not necessarily how we value them. What is the value of a teacher in words?
What a great question. And I have the benefit of having, teachers in my family. My dad was a college professor for 40 years, but mom was a high school teacher. I know what it is when people feel this is a mission. I know what it is when you literally you wake up and you're excited about the opportunity to go out and touch somebody's life in a big, big way. I think the teaching profession is probably the most important profession that we have in our country, to be honest with you. Sadly, it's probably the least paid. And therefore, sometimes we have good folks, good people. I was going through school about a year or so ago, with a very successful business owner. And we're walking through a school, say, Burge, a decade or so ago, I used to work at this school. But you know what happened? I went from two kids to four. I couldn't afford it anymore. So we have this remarkably talented person who loved teaching. He loves that environment, but he had to do something else because he couldn't afford to do it. What would it be like if we had the type of profession not only was respected, that they were protected, they come in and they have the innovation, they can give the innovation when it comes down to knowing how to help this child a little differently than that child. It's not being dictated to them what they have to do every single day. But they had their freedom to be innovative. And because they were, you see the outcome is a successful outcome. What would it look like? We can reward that outcome with the kind of income that people come out from out of the industries and come to this, because they not only do they make a living, but they also can do what their mission in life is that they impact these kids one time, one at a time. This is where the innovation has come into play. We're at a point now where, and I'll say this, I'm so blessed to be in a position in our country's history where we have a House, a Senate, and a new president, President Trump, that cares about education above everything else. This is a priority for us. And then to have the American people with us to say, we're looking for change. We now know that we just can't go the way it's been for the last 150 years. Horace Mann was the father of public education. We're doing exactly, and he passed away. He passed away 20 years before Alexander Bell said hello on his telephone. But yet we have the same system. The way we're doing things today is the same way he thought of back in over 100 plus years ago. We have to bring innovation. We have to bring new thought, and we have to have a priority that this is the most important thing we can do, education, and bring the best people to the plate to make sure our kids are educated. We can go generation upon generation upon generation, and everyone gets better and better because we have teachers who really cared, who put their heart and soul into it, who are innovative and creative and had an entrepreneurial hat on their heads. So anyway, I look forward to making that happen. This is a time in our history that we can finally address it the way we should.
No, that's great. And that's one of those things that's, it's important to me as well. I have a 6 and an 8 year old. I just want them, when I say I want them educated, is yeah. I want them knowledgeable about history. I want them knowledgeable about truth. I want them just to know things so that they can be, just like you said, be confident in their conversations every single day that they have a position. And when their position is threatened, that they also is a part of education is being able to handle disagreement. And so when your position is threatened, just like you talked about, is I can articulate myself from a position of knowledge to where at the end of the day, they're content with their own position. Yeah. And if they don't come to a middle ground, they sit there and just be like, you know what? Thank you for the conversation. And they don't resort to violence, don't resort to words, don't resort to whatever. And that's what I think education is about. And that's what I hope we can get to, whether it's President Trump, whether it's President Harris, because I am a registered independent. I just want good people running the country. You're a good person. I have come to know that. So when I look at some of our elected leaders, I don't care what party they're from. I just want them to have good values and a good direction, good vision, and be able to understand that we're all on the same team and kind of go from there. So it's one of those where go right ahead.
And I'll say this, because one of the things that, and I was blessed to have been raised in an environment of, I didn't agree with my dad all the time, but my dad, his focus was very simply to help me to learn how to think, how to articulate myself. He was prouder of me being able to articulate my thoughts versus coming to agree with his thoughts. And as you think about it, that's really what our country has always been about. You know, they spent the entire hot summer building that Constitution, and they had a lot of disagreements. A lot of people have no idea how tough that was. We have all these different mindsets and egos, but they came to this position where, you know, they compromised to a point where they had the virtues of that time was able to allow them to come with this conclusion. I think the thing we're seeing today, this is why it's so important to feel comfortable with yourself, feel confident with yourself, because you're right. When you are, you give people latitude, and you also look at the long game. How can it be nice enough that eventually they'll come my way? Unfortunately, we see today when you have people that don't agree, they'll curse at you. They'll try to beat you up. They'll try to intimidate you. They'll pick up something. And that is a very uneducated person. And that could be very dangerous to our society, because they do not bring any value when it comes down to moving forward. They just bring destruction and anger and divisiveness. So this is where we have to really work hard to make sure education is at the top of our minds. And you're right, no matter what party we're part of, at the end of the day, we have the same end game. If that end game is make sure our kids are educated and our legacy is bigger and better, our name is respected as we move forward, then we can come together and make sure that the right solutions is found in that process.
I love that. And it's something that me and a good buddy of mine that's been on the podcast before, we talk about it. It's just like, he just recently had to drive across the country twice for a military move. And he just goes, got to tell you, I stopped in some gas stations. I stopped in some restaurants and saw some people that are very different than me. You know what we never did? We never fought. And yeah. He's just like, overall, the country is still America. It's still what we believe in and what the founding generation kind of believed that it would be. And I hope that we still are like, make them proud, like make your grandfather proud for him fighting in World War I, making your dad proud in World War II, making my dad proud and things like that. And then we can kind of take this going forward. And then best of luck in your election with that. I hope to maybe join you in Congress one day, as we've talked about, maybe one day.
that would be great.
But as far as last words, I know your staff and your team told me 45 minutes. I want to respect your time. Got any last parting shots for our listeners or anything like that that you want to get out?
I should do. I think we're gonna look back on 2024 and realize how blessed we are to have been part of this process. Our country is gonna come back to the greatness that it was always designed to be. And it's because of all of us doing our part. And the other one thing I realized when it came down to the NFL is that on a team, there are different positions. Some positions have more highlighted a little bit more. Quarterback, you'll know their name possibly. You're not gonna know the running back maybe or the return guy, but every position counts. And if everybody's doing their job to make sure their position is the very best, that's how winning teams are designed. So I'll say this, and I appreciate, Mike, what you're doing with the podcast. Those who are they might bring to the table is a big smile, somebody that everybody likes, and they feel good when they're in their presence. And because of that, they can open up to be able to listen and talk about other different things. Whatever our talent is, now's the time to put it on the field, because our country truly needs all of us to be engaged. We love our country. We want our kids to have a remarkable future. We want them to be, we want them to run circles around us. So how do we do that? We make sure that our country is solid right now. So for those who are listening, let's just do our very best to make sure that as we move this country forward, that we're coming together, that we're looking at the values that really make us who the great country are, and the remarkable vision that our founders had, that we can become a more perfect union. Let's make sure that happens. And I think we'll all be happy with the process for sure.
I love that. Well, thank Congressman Owens. Thank you so much for your time, for your words, for the stories and all these different things. I will say it's been a pleasure. And again, just what a life as far as like how you grew up, where you are now, going through playing for the U and then going to the Jets and for that. And then Super Bowl champion, then a sitting congressman. So going from there, and then just allowing me to talk to you and work with you. It's been a pleasure. So thank you again for all of our supporters, Patreon supporters of the Afterburn Podcast, Flash Buffet with Congressman Owens. And you all have a fantastic rest of your week and day. Thank you so much, sir.
Your online security has never been more important. Recently, hackers stole over 2.9 billion records from National Public Data. You might be asking yourself, what's National Public Data? Well, that's the service that private investigators, companies, and staffing services all use to do background checks. This information is now in the hands of hackers who say they're going to give away this information for free. I use a company called Aura to make sure that whenever my data pops up in places I don't want, I get notified immediately. They also go right to work trying to remove your information from data brokers, as well as they offer a whole host of other tools. And should the worst case happen, they offer up to $5 million in identity theft protection insurance. Protect yourself and your family today with Aura. You can use the link down below and get a 14-day free trial, and this will be enough time for Aura to go out there, scan the web, and see what information is out there that you really don't want. You can go to aura.com/afterburn or click the link down below in the description again to get 14 days free.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.